You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Yes, it is, friends. Carlin at 800-919-3776. 800-919-ESPN on Twitter at Chris Carlin. We will get to so many of your calls. We've got great perspective coming in just a little while on the life of Hank Aaron, the player that he was, the person that he was. Ken Singleton from the Yes Network is going to join us in just a little bit. We will get into that, and then we will also talk to Jeff Torborg a little bit later on, who caught for the Dodgers in the 60s. Of course, famously caught the perfect game from Sandy Koufax, caught the no-hitter, and also caught for Drysdale, and what it was like going up against Hank Aaron. Now, I wish that there was the opportunity for me to see Hank Aaron play. I never did. I only say that about a few players. And when you think about the legacy of Hank Aaron, the first thing that is always going to come to mind are the home runs. I don't know that you would ever say that this was possible about a player who had that level of impact on a sport. But Hank Aaron was underrated as a player. He is one of the most complete players to ever play the game, if not the most complete, especially among those who were not chemically enhanced. We've heard a lot of the stats today, right? Without the 755 home runs, he'd still have 3,000 hits. That for $50 more, he ended up going to the Braves as opposed to the Giants, where he could have been playing in the outfield with Willie Mays for the entirety of his career. How much he destroyed guys like Koufax. He was so good against them. I would say that the most impressive feat among all that, it's the home run record, but it really has nothing to do with the number itself. The chase from 1973 to 1974, I'd argue that there's not another athlete, except for just a few, along the lines of Jackie Robinson, people like that, who have faced the level of pressure that Henry Aaron faced in trying to break a record. You know, you talk about 1961, and we've all seen the Billy Crystal movie, 61. We've all heard about Manolin Maris and how Roger Maris was losing his hair during that run, how pressurized it was in breaking Babe Ruth's single-season home run record. Think about being Henry Aaron. You're at 713 at the end of the season in 1973. And he was asked about chasing the record and his concerns about it, all that. His greatest concern was making it alive to 1974. That's what the death threats, the letters, the awful, awful hatred that came his way during this historic run. Think about all of that. Think about having to hide your family because there's real concern that they may get kidnapped. Think about the death threats that are there consistently for you. You're having to be protected by the federal government. You're having to be protected by the Braves everywhere. As you're just trying to break a record that has stood at that point for 50 years, 40 years, whatever it was, I'm blown away, not by the fact that he was able to achieve it, but by the grace with which he did. By just the seemingly, I don't want to say ignoring of it, but just not, while fully aware of everything that was going on around it, not letting it affect his performance. I mean, that is incredible grace to perform under that kind of pressure is one thing, but imagine just living under that kind of pressure as frankly, so many African Americans did in this country for so long. And you are the hero to millions. And yet there are so many others that just cannot stand to see you break a record of a white athlete, that they're threatening your family's lives, your life. And yet Hank Aaron went out there, and from all accounts, you'd never know from his performance on the field. There was never an outward stress that was shown. Now, I'm sure that there's no question that he felt it along the way, yet this is somebody who had the right to be angrier than most. And yet after the fact, never really was. He never lost sight of what he went through. You know, I was struck earlier today reading about it. And, you know, you hear all of the different stories. I saw Mad Dog on MLB Network, and he's terrific in these spots, and he was talking about it, and Michael was talking about it too. Just the idea that you could be this player, not be flamboyant in any way, just go about your business and be this dominant of a player and do it under that kind of pressure. Break that record under that kind of pressure. Think about the moment that you hit that home run and you're rounding second base, and all of a sudden there are two guys next to you from nowhere, from the stands, and you've had death threats. And he actually turned and shook one of their hands. They were there congratulating him, patting him on the back, but still, I can't imagine not thinking in that moment, that person is there to kill me. Yet he handled all of it with incredible grace, with incredible, just, I don't even know what the word is. It's so impossible to define, thinking about somebody being able to handle all of that going on. A country that was still divided in a lot of ways at the time, and a lot of people against you, and you're able to compartmentalize that in the moments and deliver. That you're able to go out there in Cincinnati very early in the season and hit a home run right out of the gate to tie the record. And that you're able to do it in Atlanta, in the home city, and to do it in front of 55,000 screaming fans with the potential that any one of them could have had a gun. Henry Aaron was just, when you talk about him with other people, they can't help but just, other people that were big in the sport at the time, I should say, or other people that he obviously meant a lot to, they can't help but just admire. I've never heard a cross word about him. And I know sometimes that when you have somebody who passes away, an all-time great, we tend to just forget about all the bad. But he's truly one of those people that has never outwardly had a bad day that we know of, that where he's let that be public. He always understood who he was, what his importance was. And I just go to a quote that I read earlier today. In terms of his social importance and how much he still valued and still just pushed and pushed and pushed for right. told MLB.com this summer, in the midst of all the riots and everything going on, I can't move around too well, but I'd be out there with them. And I'd be leading the way if I could. And you believe them. You know, there's Jackie Robinson, there's Larry Doby, there's so many others. And there's Henry Aaron, who is absolutely top three greatest players of all time. And the on-the-field stuff, we can talk about that. People just think about the home runs. It was far from about that. This is a man who won batting titles. This is a man who won three gold gloves. We'll talk about that with Jeff Torborg in a little bit. This is a guy that is still number one all-time in runs batted in. Not because he was always trying to hit home runs, because his greatest importance was to get the run home no matter what. And I can't even imagine going through what he went through during that time. Trying to break this legendary number, this number that had so much import in the sport. Baseball's that number, or that game of numbers, that means so much. And 714 meant so much. But 755 means a hell of a lot more. The video stream up and running. You can watch it at 98.7 ESPN New York's Twitter feed and on ESPN New York's Facebook page. It is Carlin remembering the life of Henry Aaron. Steve in Florida will start us off tonight on 98.7 ESPN. Hey, Steve, what's going on?
Chris, thanks for taking the call. I've listened to you for a long time. It's a pleasure to finally speak to you.
Now, my pleasure, Steve. Thank you.
I grew up in Brooklyn. In the 50s and 60s. Moved down to Florida a couple of years ago. My guy was Mickey Mantle. And I was trying to find a tape today because I have a few, believe it or not, VHS tapes. I think it was a Warner Wolf special or something like that that had Willie, Mickey, and the Duke. And Mickey Mantle, I think, said something like this about Hank Aaron, because they were talking about the three of them. And I think Mickey Mantle said something to the effect, if Hank Aaron had played in New York, he would have been bigger than any of us, meaning the three of them.
Yeah.
You probably picked this up online, too, today. He also supposedly said he was the best baseball player of my era. He's never received the credit he's due.
Yeah, and I can't believe that I say this, but I think that the home run record really kind of washes away everything else that he did. But this is a guy that, you know, hit 300 for his career. He didn't strike out. He didn't strike out very much at all. He did whatever he had to do to help his team win games. And it's remarkable when you look at his career numbers, just how terrific he was in every phase of the game.
He was a five-tool player, like they used to say.
Yeah.
And the statistic that amazes me is that is it true he never really struck out over 100 times in any one season?
Not once. Not once. I mean, think about this, okay? In a year, the closest he came was he struck out 94 times. No, I'm sorry, he struck out 97 times once. But in a year where he hit 319, 44 homers, and 130 runs batted in, this is 1963, he struck out 94 times. He struck out 63 times in 1960 when he hit 40 homers and 126 runs batted in and hit 292.
Completely different game, but then he was on a different planet. There's one other thing I want to mention, and that is I heard the show on before you, Mr. K and his guys, who were very good, and they were talking about the 50s and 60s. They didn't really see him play. I was in college. I was 21 that day. You know, I mean, I was 21 that year when that happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the drum beat for the months in. I used to get Sports Illustrated all the time, the coverage in Sports Illustrated leading up to it. It was a big deal, and it was disgusting what you were reading. For him to do what he did was tremendous. The home run, as you said, that's the headline.
Staggering. Staggering to go through that pressure, Steve.
But what he did afterwards, in his life as a businessman, as a someone who's saying that there should be more African Americans, he wanted to be a manager, to be general manager. Thank God for Ted Turner, he put him with the Braves. He's just an outstanding gentleman, and
Listen, Steve, his impact on the game, and thanks to the call, goes well beyond what he did as a player. It has a lot more to do with what he stood for as a man and as an important social figure in this country. Marvin in the Bronx, next, 98.7 ESPN. Marvin, what's going on?
You know, my heart is sad today because even though I'm a diehard Yankee fan, I have been a Hank Aaron fan since the day I walked into a deli with Sports Magazine and saw a picture of Hank Aaron. I just love the way he postured himself in the batting cage, in the batting box. But I'll say this, all right? There's a statistic that people don't know, all right? I've shaken hands with Muhammad Ali, and I can palm a basketball, and my hand disappeared. Hank Aaron's wrists were 2.5 inches bigger than Muhammad Ali's. People don't realize that.
Everybody talks about that, Hank Aaron's wrists. It's amazing.
Yeah, the thing about it, you know, I saw him go for that home run record. And as a black American, I was very proud. But the dark side of it, the systemic racism that exists today, existed then. There's no way. There's a lot of people saying that Hank Aaron was a great ball player, but there's a whole lot of people that should be ashamed of themselves of how they treated this man as he chased this record.
There's no doubt.
And I'll say this as a bit of trivia. The man he replaced in the starting lineup was Bobby Thompson, because Bobby Thompson broke his ankle.
Yep.
And I'll say this. You got to give me a little time, Chris. His mother made a promise to him before he left to play Major League Baseball. If you don't make it in baseball, you got to come back and go to Florida A&M to go to school. Now, I have 3 Florida A&M alum in my family, so we know how that story turned out. Hey, Hank, rest in peace. It was an honor to watch this man play. I may not see him physically, but he'll always be in my heart. Thank you, Chris.
Thanks, Marvin. Appreciate it. 800-919-3776. Open lines. Let's hit him. Here's Owen in Brooklyn next. 98.7 ESPN. Owen, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for taking my call. I'm a big fan of the show.
Thank you.
I'm calling because I didn't see Hank Aaron play. I just turned 33 years old, but I do have a quick Hank Aaron story.
Okay.
I fell in love with baseball when I was in third grade, 9 years old. I fell in love with baseball. And when I became a huge Yankee fan, and then when I was in fourth grade, we did a Black History Month extravaganza. My principal always knew me as the kid who always carried his bat and baseball to always play baseball at recess. She said, well, I want you to do something for Black History Month to honor the black baseball players that you might not know. So I said, okay. So I gathered my friends. We said we're going to do Jackie Robinson. Everybody knows him. Willie Mays, and then we got into Larry Doby and got to Hank Aaron. And just remembering that and then hearing about his passing today, I'm so glad my principal did that, because it just allowed me to learn more about my history. Because although, yeah, like you've been saying, everybody knows the home runs, but everybody doesn't know everything else. On the Michael Kay show, Rosenberg said, if you just take away his home runs, he's still a Hall of Famer. And all the stuff that he's contributed as a baseball player, and more importantly, just as a man, as a role model, to me, it would never be rivaled. And thank you for taking my call.
No problem. And I think that's 100% accurate. I think exactly what you just said. The fact that if you took away all of those home runs, he's still a Hall of Famer. But when you hear from Hall of Famers and they talk about Hank Aaron, they talk about him with incredible reverence. They don't talk about him like he's on the same level of great player as they are. They talk about him like there's a Mount Rushmore of the Hall of Fame, and Hank Aaron is on that. Your thoughts about Hank Aaron, his passing today at the age of 86. And we just had Ken Singleton on a little while ago in just a little bit. We'll talk to Jeff Torborg, the former manager of the Mets, the Marlins, the White Sox, and also famously a catcher for the Dodgers back in those halcyon days in the 60s when he caught Drysdale and Koufax and what it was like seeing Hank Aaron come to the plate. Jeff coming up in just a little bit. Right now, we continue on the phones. Mike is in Old Bridge. He's next, 98.7 ESPN. Mike, what's going on?
Hey, Chris, how are you?
I'm great, Mike. What's going on with you?
Hey, I'm so glad you mentioned that Hank Aaron is definitely in the top three. I was actually trying to tweet that to you, and you said it just as I was tweeting it. I mean, that's how much of a monumental loss it is to lose Hank Aaron. I mean, you know, what do you say, like Babe Ruth, Hank, Willie, or Babe Ruth, Hank, Ty Cobb? I mean, he's definitely in that top three. And the only other point I wanted to make, and I'll hang up and I'll listen, is if Atlanta, if they ever decide to change their name, you know, it'd be great to honor Hank Aaron by calling themselves the Hammers or something to that effect. What do you think?
I saw that somewhere else. Somebody else made that suggestion. I think that's a great idea on your part. If they do end up changing their name from the Braves, I would absolutely think the Hammers would be fantastic. That would be a great name for them to honor Hank Aaron.
Especially what he endured, you know, as an African American in baseball. I think that would really it would mean a lot to a lot of people if they do decide to change the name. And I think it would be great. And yeah, and again, to echo what I was saying earlier, he's definitely in that top three. You know, I mean, I'm sure if I sat down and crunched the numbers between him and Babe Ruth, maybe argue him number one. I don't know. A smarter baseball person can argue that than me, but he's certainly in the top three. And you know, the fact that he wasn't a New York player, you know, sadly now that he's gone, you can kind of look at him as the player and as the man and really look at what he accomplished. He's certainly top three all time in Major League Baseball.
And the other thing is, it's not even just a New York thing, Mike. Thanks for the call. It's that Hank Aaron was not somebody that was going to go out there and do the unbelievable, the spectacular thing and, you know, just be flashy and all that kind of stuff. That wasn't him. He would go out there and make the plays you're supposed to make. The one thing I've heard a couple of times today, and you'll hear this in just a little bit from Jeff Torborg, like Hank Aaron never missed a cutoff, man. You know, Hank Aaron would make the spectacular plays, but because he got a good jump on the ball, it didn't make them look spectacular. He made them look like they were regular plays or basically plays that you should make. And there is something to be said for that. The fact that it wasn't about making the unbelievable diving catch all the time, that's not a knock on anybody else. In some instances, it's all you can do. But he was such a smart baseball guy that he was able to position himself correctly and frankly, read the ball off the bat so well. Was he a great outfielder? He wasn't an all-time great outfielder, but it was one of those things where, you know, early in his career, he wasn't a great outfielder, wasn't a very good outfielder. He got better. He continued to work at it, and he ends up winning three gold gloves. I mean, that's just one of the overlooked things about his career. And, you know, I look up and down. The guy has 2,300 runs batted in. 2,300 runs batted in. 2,297. It's first all time. All time. And it's not because of all the home runs. It's because he would do whatever he had to do to drive in runs. He would make sure that runner on third base got picked up. I'll tell you, just looking at some of the numbers, as I look at it, right? So Babe Ruth is about 80 runs batted in behind him. Albert Pujols has 2,100 runs batted in. What we were talking about with the total bases earlier, okay? Hank Aaron has 6,856 total bases. Stan Musial has 6,136. So he's got well over 700 more total bases. The difference there, and then from Stan all the way down to Carl Yastrzemski, He's got 55-39. Like, that's a bigger gap. 1-2, and then 2-10 or 11. That's ridiculous. All right, let's give Richard another shot. Is the caller there? Wow. Brian Munguia, I mean, I can't believe this. This is twice.
I'm a little concerned.
I think we have to hang up. Yeah. I think we have to hang up and make Richard call back.
I hear that's the TV, too, in the background. I don't know what he's watching.
I hope he's okay. I hope that's, yeah, because Richard, when is Richard not picking up the phone?
Did he fall asleep? But you would think he would hear the alarm.
I would hope.
I'm a little concerned.
You know, the alarm is really there for the rest of the listeners. I don't like to do this, but if you need to check out for a minute, the alarm is there to tell you, now might be the time. Bill in New Jersey is next on 98.7 ESPN. Bill, what's going on?
How you doing, Chris? First time caller. You know, I never heard so much information about Hank Aaron and the everything he went through. I'm 54 years old, big Yankee fan, but I'm a baseball fan. However, I kind of want to turn the page a little bit on this. Hank Aaron really has never been sick. He seemed to be in good health, and I really hope I'm not treading on water with this one, but he recently, about 2 weeks ago, received the first dose of the COVID-19 vaccine. Mm-hmm. And then here we are talking about the passing of Hank Aaron and everything he's done, which is fantastic. But has anybody discussed or maybe thought about this vaccine potentially being the cause? And again, I'm not trying to be political. I'm not trying to...
Bill, I'm not even going anywhere near it. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. Absolutely not. I'm happy to talk about anything, but we're going to tie together Hank Aaron's death and the COVID vaccine when, in fact, Hank Aaron is out there a couple of weeks ago being one of the first to take it for a very specific reason. To show people that you should take it. To show people that it's important. I don't know if it was the cause. I'm certainly going to not even remotely consider that. And dear God, if it comes up that it was, I'm not even remotely smart enough to talk about that. And I'm not going to speculate on how Hank Aaron passed away. I'll tell you this, he was 86 years old. So it's, 86 is an age where it would not be unexpected for someone to pass away. I'm not going to go there for a second. I mean, I can't even believe I've spent like the last 90 seconds even thinking about it. 800-919-3776. 800-919-ESPN. Jeff Torborg in just a little bit. We're going to talk about the playoffs as well and the games this weekend, and we're getting close to that time. We're not there yet. We're, 16 games into the season and 8-8? We're not there yet. I'm not buying in yet. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. Play good defense. I'm not doing it. I'm not jumping in. I'm not doing it. I'm not admitting defeat. Absolutely not. Not after 16 games. But I got to wake up to texts or tweets, not texts, but tweets from Brian Munguia with all kinds of, celebratory gifts out there. Look, the Knicks won again. Oh, my God. This game's unbelievable.
Why you got to point me out?
Well, because yours was the first one that I saw this morning.
Did you like the Sopranos one?
I mean, geez, can you throw everyone out? I mean, it's a regular season game on the West Coast against a Warriors team that doesn't have Klay Thompson and is not going to have a great season.
But Steph Curry is still Steph Curry.
Yes, he is. But, I mean... We get it. They can defend it. And R.J. Barrett can put some games together. And I'm so encouraged by that.
That's what I wanted to see.
But can we just settle down? You guys, every day, it's like, jump on board. Here we go. Stop drinking the sand. I mean, for Pete's sake, I want good things for you. I do. But when you jump the gun, I don't want to tell you how to be a fan, but I'm going to tell you how to be a fan. Everybody calm down.
I'm happy for them, okay?
Yes.
I have not seen that in 2000?
20 years.
Yeah, 1999.
Well, I mean, listen, you know what? I don't even want to talk about 20 years. You had a 54-win season in, 2012, 2018, something like that, yeah. 2013.
But that was only 1 year.
Yeah, it was 1 year, but this is 16 games.
Go New York, go New York, go.
Oh, come on.
Go New York, go New York, go. Say go New York, go New York, go. Well, just like that, look who's back in the mix right out of New York.
I want them to be good. I just know what I'm looking at. I mean, you don't even... Brian, how old are you?
I just turned 30.
You just turned 30.
Correct.
So when they were really playing that song in the 90s, mm-hmm. you were like 4.
Yeah.
So stop.
Hey, I kind of remember it in the distance.
I kind of remember it. Stop.
And I watch a lot of the documentaries on MSG Network. I love that stuff.
Yeah. Okay. Mike in Clinton is up next. Mike, what's going on, buddy? How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for taking my call, guys. And I appreciate your time with Hank Aaron tonight and talking all about it. I asked Brian the question earlier. I'm just mesmerized, and maybe you could shed some light on it. Hank Aaron didn't get into the Hall of Fame unanimously.
97.2. Who was the guy? Who were the two guys who voted, who didn't vote for Hank Aaron? Like, we always kill people on Jeter and whatever. You know, who's that guy?
I was just curious because you guys have been just sharing so many great stats, and I'm thinking to myself on the way home, who the heck wouldn't have voted for him?
I don't know. I'm Googling it right now because I want to know who didn't vote for Hank Aaron. You know, he got 97.8% of the vote. 97.8.
That's darn good, but I can't believe he didn't get 100. That was my only
ridiculous
point of frustration.
Yeah. That's so bad. Who were the dopes who didn't vote for him? That's what I want to know.
Well,
and like if it's 97.8, let me do a little quick math. 97.8%. He got 406 votes. That means like there had to be like 8 or 9 guys. Am I wrong with my math? Like 2% who didn't vote for him? I mean, not just like 1 or 2, like 8 or 9 guys who didn't vote for Hank Aaron.
They must have been from the good old club. I don't know.
I tell you disgusting. What, if you don't vote, like there are certain instances where if you don't vote for a guy like that as a unanimous selection, I mean, you just deserve to have your vote taken away.
I agree with you. Well, guys, thank you for taking my call. I just didn't know if you had any insight, but I was just blown away. And thank you guys again for covering all this tonight and I really do appreciate it.
Sure. Me and my fat friend, Chris, we're very happy to do it. Thanks for checking in, Mike. Only one of us here. It's just me. You know, it might feel like that. But not really. How about Bill in Levittown? Bill is next on 98.7 ESPN.
Rich, hello. How you doing, man?
Good. What's going on?
Good. Yeah, I was going to come on here and talk about, I was watching yesterday, watching LeBron James do what he does, and I was going to come here and rant about LeBron and just, like, how he's – in year 7 – I mean, this just doesn't make sense what he's doing. And but then we're on the baseball subject. I think A-Rod should be unanimous Hall of Famer first ballot.
Yeah, I don't know what's more ridiculous, the fact that LeBron is doing what he's doing, which is off the charts ridiculous. I mean, he only had 34 last night against Milwaukee. And what, 34-8 against Milwaukee last night, or that take that A-Rod should be a first ballot Hall of Famer. A-Rod's got incredible numbers.
And I like how he dropped after he said A-Rod. He's kind of nervous.
Oh, he hung up.
Yeah, he hung up. I didn't hang up on him. He hung up.
Okay. He hung up, so he didn't even have the guts to hang with us for a little bit.
No, I wanted him to explore that. Yeah, I wanted him to explore that.
Yeah, no, that's called hit and run. It's gutless. It's gutless. Not unlike myself, gutless. Spike, Jersey, he's not gutless. Hello, Spike.
The world's crazy. I told Michael today, you know, I'm really blessed. In my lifetime, I don't know if you heard it, but the audience is coming in and out. I'm really blessed. In my lifetime, I got to spend time as a little kid with Jackie Robinson and time with Henry Aaron. And I'll tell you, I'm counting my blessings because those are two of the finest. I was a little boy with Jackie, and I was walking to Ebbets Field, and I just stopped. It was different then. On the sidewalk, I lived six blocks away. I walked there. It's so odd. You would collect old ice cream wrappers and 2 bits or 25 cents. How unhygienic was to pick on used ice cream wrappers up off the sidewalk, but that's another story. Henry Aaron did things that, and I saw him all the way, and I told him with my big mouth at this function I went to in Milwaukee at the Chamber of Commerce, and he was there with his best friend, Bud Selig. This is 81. Mm-hmm. And I said, man, I tried to get my wrist like that. I bought those things that you squeeze, you know? And he just smiled, and he's just so reverent, so bright, so kind. And I said, you pulled balls that were by you, and they hit the left field foul pole. He was just great, Chris. I know you didn't see him, but I remember that Milwaukee Braves team like it was yesterday. You know, you keep your youth with you, or you try to.
Yeah.
But it's very sad. But it's already
I heard Michael
sad.
Say it
what
earlier, and it's 100% true, that when you think of those players, you think of them at their very best in your youth. Like, that's where they're kind of frozen in your memory.
Absolutely. And there was another one, and you'll nod to it. I can't see you, obviously, but you'll nod to it. He doesn't get the accolades also. Very underrated, Frank Robinson.
Oh, Frank Robinson. Another guy I wish I had seen because, I mean, 586 homers and just nasty. Just wanted
attitude.
To beat the daylights out of you.
Wanted to beat the crap out of you and won the MVP in both leagues. But let me, the reason I called is young Brian, who's 30 already. I've known him for a long time, it seems, and he's a nice young fella. I said, listen, we have bylaws, us older folks. Colin comes on board when the Knicks are 5-over. We agree to that?
I mean,
5 over 500,
John
Boy.
Five games over, yes, I'll admit something. I don't know what
I'll
admit.
That's all. I don't see it. I love the way the playing is set last night.
Because we can agree that they're not talented enough, right?
They're playing hard. You can only get so far with playing hard. The talent will catch up to you. I'll tell you one thing. I'm watching the Nets game. And I had an afro like Jared Allen. I got to pull a picture out somewhere just like him 50 years ago. But I got to tell you, they're going to regret that trade, not having a big guy in the back there. They're missing that. We talked about it. I don't like this kind of basketball. I watch it. I love hoops.
It's a problem, Spike. It's definitely a problem, and thanks for the call. It's obviously a team that's not going to play any defense. And they do miss having somebody back there to defend the rim. And they're going to have problems. They have unbelievable talent with the big three. I am exceptionally skeptical, and I think eventually, with these three personalities, it will blow up. Like, you could not pick three more personalities in the NBA right now that have the potential of blowing up together more than these three. Between Kyrie, Harden, who's already run three separate superstars out of town in Houston before he got here, and KD, who got all bent out of shape because Barkley's not kissing his you-know-what. I mean, what are we doing? Why is he getting bent out of shape about that? Stop it. Charles Barkley was a great player, Kevin. And Kevin's a tremendous, tremendous player. He's the second best player on the planet. But, you know, don't downplay what those guys are. And all they're doing is telling the truth. That's what they do. They were both great in their own right. Listen, that show is as good as it gets. But at any rate, I just, the Nets, I don't see it. And, you know, KD's got his load maintenance night tonight or whatever it was. 800-919-3776. Quick Frank Robinson story. Very quick before we get to Jeff Torborg in a minute. I was in fifth grade, and I was a huge, huge Mets fan. And I somehow convinced one of my teachers that we should go as a class for a field trip to a Mets game. And I don't know how I did. I don't know how it happened, but it happened. And we went to see the Mets play the Giants. I think it was 82. And Frank Robinson was managing the Giants. And it was an afternoon game, middle of the week. And a guy named Jim Barr was pitching for the Giants. And he's getting hit around by the Mets. And he's all bent out of shape and gets annoyed that he's getting pulled out of the game by Frank Robinson. And Jim Barr, as Robinson is coming out to get him, he just about gets to the mound, just flips Robinson the ball and starts walking off. And Frank Robinson grabs him by the arm and rips him back onto the mound. No, you wait for the reliever to get here. How about that? Frank Robinson wasn't taking it from anybody. I remember that game like it was yesterday, and the entire crowd, all, you know, 15,000 or 20,000 of us at Shea, were, when you saw him grab his arm and rip him back onto the mound, were like, oh, wow. Frank Robinson's nasty, nasty guy. Nasty guy. Unbelievable player. He was tough. And when I mean nasty, like, he could be really tough to people, too, from what I understand. I never had any personal interaction with him, but he could be tough. Speaking of tough, Drysdale, Koufax, they were pretty tough.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.